views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
What's up, everyone? I'm Rudy Racine, and you're listening to the Higher Learners Podcast on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour as we discuss your path to leadership, or what I like to call the leadership mile. Each first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, we'll discuss topics that help you sharpen your skills to get you to the next level in your career. So with that said, what is the leadership mile? So the leadership mile is actually a term that I coined, and it's a book that I'm working on that addresses your path to leadership. MILE is actually an acronym. It stands for Motivate, Inspire, Learn, and Empower. Motivate, Inspire, Learn, and Empower. And it was inspired because to be an effective leader, in the several years of experience that I have as a leader, I've realized the importance of being able to motivate the people on your team, how important it is also to be able to inspire them and actually act on what you're asking them to do, how important it is to take the time to learn the people on your team and learn about them and find out once again what motivates them and be able to listen to them effectively. And lastly, empowering, the importance of empowering staff and encouraging them to grow. So without a further ado, we will start with the motivation. So without further ado, we'll start with motivation. I want you to think about what motivates you. When I came up with the concept for the leadership mile, I was actually, the motivation part of it was inspired by a book that I read called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. So now this book, it's more of a relationship book, with a significant other. And it talks about how when you're in a relationship, you tend to communicate your love differently. So there are five love languages that Dr. Chapman references. He says that some people communicate their love using physical touch. Some communicate their love with words of affirmation, some with gift giving, some with acts of service, and some using quality time, spending quality time with their significant other. And when I read that book, what resonated with me the most was how it's applicable to management as well. And obviously you're not communicating your love at work, that can be a little problematic, but you are communicating different ways to motivate your team or methods to motivate your team. So I coined methods of motivation, and similar to the five love languages, which are, as I said earlier, physical touch, words of affirmation, gift giving, acts of service, and quality time. As a leader in corporate America and in different roles, I look to identify what methods of motivation work best with my team. And the methods of motivation are contact, acknowledgement, rewards, assistance, and time. So very similar to the five love languages. As I said, this was inspired by Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. And so I think about contact, right? There are employees that you work with. And now this is for existing leaders. This is for individuals that aspire to become leaders in their organization or that aspire to lead a team. It's imperative that you understand that everyone on your team, everyone that you lead, is not motivated the same way. So as a leader, it's your responsibility to identify what motivates your team members and how they're motivated. So some team members might be motivated by contact. And I like to describe contact as that employee that is motivated by the high five, the fist bump, the pat on the back. You know, I have staff members at you know, in positions. I've had staff members in positions when I've led teams that would it would give them an extra boost of motivation when I would just walk around and I would walk around and give high fives. I had secret handshakes with certain staff members when they did something great. We'd do the secret handshake, you know, in front of staff, and you know, they would walk away from that exchange more motivated, and there was a boost of energy and enthusiasm. And you, some of you might be laughing and thinking, yeah, right, nobody's motivated by a fist bump or a high five. And you may not have, that may not be your method of motivation, but there are some employees, there are some staff that will give an extra boost of energy to, and it will enhance your connection with those staff members when you are able to identify that as their method of motivation. Another is acknowledgement. So although some people may not be motivated by contact, some people might be motivated by acknowledgement. And acknowledgement is just telling someone good job, recognizing what they, you know, what they've done, and, you know, putting it out there that they've done a good job. So, you know, hey, Jim, I noticed what you did last month and your numbers were really strong. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate the hard work that you're putting in. So that acknowledgement of, in this case, Jim's acknowledgement, might motivate Jim. And as a manager, it is, once again, your responsibility to really identify which employees are motivated by acknowledgement, which employees are motivated by contact. And then the next method of motivation is rewards, right? So similar to the five love languages where there was physical touch, words of affirmation, and gift giving, rewards, you might have employees that are motivated by incentives, by dollars, or gifts or prizes. So if you know you have someone on your team that pushes or works harder when you present the opportunity to win an award or get a gift card, or when you provide them with a gift card or some type of prize, whether it be a trophy, monetary or you know, tangible, that is one of their methods of motivation. And it's important as the leader to really realize that is their one of their methods of motivation. The other two are assistance and time. So assistance, let's talk about assistance for a while. Some employees are motivated by just a manager that will roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty right alongside the rest of the team. There are employees that will look at you as an amazing leader because you take the time to help out the team, and you're not constantly delegating without actually being involved in the trenches with your team. And lastly, time. It's pretty self-explanatory, right? Time. Some employees are motivated when you take the time to sit with them. I can give you an example of myself. There was once a president that I worked for, a college president that I worked for. And what really motivated me, or what made me leave her office extremely motivated and recharged, re-energized, was the fact that when I had my one-on-ones with this manager, she would sit away from her desk. We sat at a round table in her office, and you know, her phone and her computer were at her desk, but we sat at the round table, which gave me her full attention. And that really energized me and motivated me. And as a leader, I am aware of these different methods of motivation. I'm aware of these different ways staff members are motivated. And for those of you that want to break into leadership and leadership roles, one of the most important things that you will need to do is learn how to identify the methods of motivation. You will have staff that are motivated by multiple factors, right? So you might have a staff member that is motivated by acknowledgement and rewards, or acknowledgement and assistance. And there may be employees that are motivated by acknowledgement and they hate rewards. Your job as a new leader or as an existing leader is to really understand and pay attention to when your employees seem re-energized, when they seem to perk up when you use these different methods. And if you're able to understand these different methods and play them and use them in your day-to-day routine and your day-to-day activities when trying to work with your staff and trying to get them to execute on the goals that you have them seeking out, you will find that this is something that will really help you. All right. So now, as I mentioned earlier, contact, some employees might deem contact as inappropriate. So you have to gauge your level of contact. So the cons to contact is, you have to be mindful of who likes it, who doesn't like it, who wants you to high five them, who wants the fist bump, who wants the pat on the shoulder, and who doesn't. So there are cons there. The cons to acknowledgement are some people are don't want that acknowledgement. They don't want to be don't want the spotlight put on them because it makes them feel uncomfortable. So that could be a con to acknowledgement. A con to rewards is just that it can be costly, right? It can be very expensive. And then what ends up happening is you spend so much money and time purchasing these rewards that they become expected by your team. Assistance could be deemed micromanagement, could be looked at as micromanagement, and time could also be looked at as micromanagement. So be mindful of the methods of motivation and be use them in moderation, but be aware of your team and how they communicate their motivation or how they're motivated. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. It's time to go to break. You are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. We're going to take a quick break, as I said, and when we come back, we'll explore more on the leadership mile. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
We are back on the Higher Learners podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking about your path to leadership and what I like to call the leadership mile. Before we continue, though, I want to make sure everyone here knows how to contact me. So you can reach me on social media. I am on Instagram, Higher Learners. That's H-I-R-E, Learners. On Facebook, like us at Higher Learners as well. On Twitter, we are Higher_Learners. And you can reach us on our website at www.higherlearners.com. Once again, that's Higher Learners, H-I-R-E, learners.com. So we were talking about in the first, before going to break, we were talking about the leadership mile, and mile stands for motivating, inspiring, learning, and empowering. And we talked a little bit about motivating, and we discussed the methods of motivation and how different employees are motivated. So as we kind of come back from this break, I want you to think about what your methods of motivation are. So we talked about contact, acknowledgement, rewards, assistance, and time. And think about which methods of motivation you find the most energizing and which methods of motivation you find the most draining or annoying. And when you're able to do that for yourself, you can then take the next step and start to pay attention to your staff to determine what their methods of motivation are and which ones energize and inspire them most and which ones they seem to tune out to or they tend to maybe not respond well to. As a leader, it's imperative that I stress when you are in a leadership position, it is your responsibility to adapt to your team. There are some leaders that go into leadership roles and they expect their team to adapt to them. And that can be problematic, and it will often result in a lot of challenges with you and your staff members because they are not adapting to you. Your job is to adapt to them, to find out what motivates them the best so that you can get the most out of them and you can encourage them and empower them to grow and inspire them. So that brings me to the I in the leadership mile, inspiring. Inspiring as a leader is very important. And I don't want to go too heavily into politics, and I'm not going to, but I remember hearing a story that Barack Obama told about his campaign slogan, fired up, ready to go. And he mentioned how he went to a city, I think it was in Ohio, where he walked into the room and it was raining and he didn't want to be there. It was early in the morning and there was a group of campaigners there with him. And an older woman walked into the room and she said, fired up. And the room responded to her by saying, ready to go. And she said, fired up. And they responded again, ready to go. And the energy in the room changed just by her doing that. President Obama went on to say that it takes one person, one voice, because one voice can inspire a room full of people. One voice can inspire a city. One voice can inspire a nation. And that resonated with me because as a leader, when you are looking to inspire your team, inspire the people that are working for you, it is imperative that you have that voice or you find that voice. And part of finding that voice is being able to communicate your why and communicating why. So communicating your why is why you do what you do. Why do you work for the company that you work for? How committed are you to the mission of your company? Being able to communicate that why will often encourage your team and the employees on your team to follow you. Think back to a time when you were, when you reported to a leader. And I want you to think back to a time when that leader asked you to do something. Right. And initially, when they asked you to do this thing, you didn't fully understand why they wanted you to do it. And think about that. you know, when you didn't know why they wanted you to do it, how motivated were you? How inspired were you to act and really work hard to execute on that task? It goes back to the point that I made earlier, being able to understand what motivates your team. And oftentimes that is being able to communicate your why, the why behind what you want them to do. If you want them to pull a report, if you want them to stay late, if you want them to come in early, just asking them to do that. For some employees, they'll do it because you're the leader. But oftentimes that's out of fear. That's done out of fear. And in many cases, that doesn't last, or it may not last, or it might result in tension amongst the team, or just, you know, they may not particularly care for you very much. And I know some leaders don't mind that. Personally, I mind that. And I like to work with a team that I get along with. And I found in working in different organizations with different corporations and different leaders that oftentimes the leaders that get the best results and the most effective results are the ones that don't need to rule with force or don't need to lead with force, but are able to connect with their teams and inspire their teams. And inspiring, as I said earlier, sometimes it's just communicating your why. All right. The why behind what you do and why you do what you do. If you can articulate the why behind what you are asking your team to do, you will find that you will achieve some better results. I strongly believe in that. And I'm telling you, as someone that's been a leader for over 15 years, transparency and clarity in explaining why you're choosing to do what you do will often result in your team wanting to follow you. And, you know, so that is inspiration. There's not really much in the inspiration piece. I will say, beyond being able to communicate your why, there is also, it is very important that when you are communicating feedback to your team, you don't communicate that feedback in a way that takes away their motivation. All right. So, or removes that inspiration. So when you're able to communicate the why, that's one part of it. But the next part of that is being able to give them that feedback, communicate, you know, how well they're doing without, you know, tearing down their morale or their motivation, their self-esteem. One way to do that, or one quote that resonated with me when it comes to inspiring or maintaining that inspiration, but also providing feedback for growth, is tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. So Isaac Newton said that tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. As a leader, it is imperative that you give consistent feedback to the people on your team. They rely on you to give them advice and feedback on how to grow. But in order to get them to respond to you positively, tact is really the way to go. And there's actually a method to giving feedback to employees that will help you to keep them inspired and keep them bought in without breaking down their confidence. And some people call it the sandwich method. Some refer to it as the build, break, build method. And essentially what you're doing when you're giving feedback and you're using these methods is you are providing them with some positive reinforcement first. And then you're sprinkling in some of that constructive criticism, not just criticism, constructive criticism. And then you're following it up with, once again, feedback. So, or positive reinforcement. So let me repeat that because I know it wasn't clear. When you're using the build, break, build method or the sandwich approach, you are starting out with positive reinforcement. You are sprinkling in some constructive criticism. And then you are following that up with, once again, some positive reinforcement. So I'll give you an example. You may have an employee that is coming in late every day, right? And as frustrating as it might be with that employee, all right, you want to just tell them, dude, I need you to get in here on time every day. What's going on? Or maybe not dude, but Jane, I need you to get here on time every day. That's one approach. But if Jane is a strong employee and is working hard and is producing top tier results, you want to make sure that she still has that motivation and you still want to make sure she has that confidence when you're giving her that constructive criticism or feedback about getting to work on time. So what you're going to do is you're going to say, Jane, I think you're a top performer and I see how hard you work every day. And I really appreciate that. That's the positive reinforcement. Now the constructive criticism. One area I really want to see you grow in and I really like to see you improve in is just your timeliness. I've noticed the last couple of days you've come in late and that's affecting your performance and it's also affecting the people around you. And I really value the effort that you put in every day. And I think the team looks at you as a leader. So I want to see you improve in that, you know, in your timeliness so that you can continue to produce your top tier results, but you also set a strong example for the people on your team. All right. So because that was off the top, it was a little wordy, but I want to make sure that you get the point of maintaining that, you know, keeping your employees inspired, but also providing that constructive criticism or feedback using that build, break, build approach. That is positive reinforcement, sprinkling in some constructive criticism, and then following it up with positive reinforcement again. That will go a long way with keeping your employees inspired. All right, everyone. And so it's time to take a break. You are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. As I said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will explore more on the leadership mile. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
right, we are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking about your path to leadership, or as I said earlier, what I like to call the leadership mile. Mile is an acronym. It stands for motivating, inspiring, learning, and empowering. And before we continue and dig deeper into the learning and empowering, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact me for more information on Higher Learners and the Leadership Mile. You can reach me on social media, like my page, like the Higher Learners page on Facebook. Higher Learners is spelled H-I-R-E, Learners, that's L-E-A-R-N-E-R-S. On Instagram, we're also Higher Learners, H-I-R-E, Learners. Twitter, we are Higher_Learners, and you can reach us on our website at www.higherlearners.com. Any questions about the podcast, or if you want more information on the topic, don't hesitate to reach out. I will respond as soon as I can. So now, with that said, we talked about motivating and we talked about inspiring. And when we discussed inspiring, we talked about communicating your why and also providing feedback tactfully. And I said that tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. Now we're going to go into learning. And we touched on learning a little bit more when we discussed motivating. And I stressed that as a leader, it is your responsibility to learn about your team and to find out what motivates them. And the best way to learn about your team is to listen. And so now there are three types of listening that we're going to talk about because many people, I think many people don't realize that they listen the way that they listen. So in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to talk to you about three types of listening. And I want you, as I'm explaining each of the types of listening, I want you to pay attention to or think about how you might be showing up with your team and how you might be listening and how it might be affecting your ability to relate to your team and also build relationships with your team. So without further ado, the first type of listening is subjective listening, right? So subjective listening is also known as listening to respond. All right. So I want you to think about how often or how many times you've been in a conversation with someone and they said something, and while they were explaining their point, while they were making their point, they said something and you immediately thought of an idea. All right. And you kind of tuned out a little bit, and your response was immediately to respond to that one point that they made. It may not have been the entire point. It was one thing that they said in their conversation. So I'll give you an example, right? So you're having a conversation with an employee and they said, you know, I'm late for work because the trains were running slow. And, you know, I bumped into a homeless person on the train and their story was really was sad and they were struggling to find work. And because I work with people to help people find jobs, I wanted to sit and talk to them a little bit longer. And as a result of the conversation, I was able to refer them to the local retail store down the block that was hiring. And I thought that they might be able to get a job there. Right. So you as the supervisor, you hear that story. And instead of listening to the whole story where your employee might have been motivated by the conversation they had with the person on the train, you heard the train was delayed, or you heard that the train was late. And your immediate response there was, you know what, Jim, I need you, if the trains are running late, I need you to wake up earlier and try to get to the train stations a little earlier, because most of the time the trains run late. All right. So, you know, this example's on the fly, but the point I'm making is, as a manager, you heard you were listening subjectively, all right? So your employee just told you this long story about the trains running late and then meeting someone on the train that was out of work and helping them to find a job. And that may have motivated them and that conversation may have caused them to be late. But because you were listening subjectively and you got caught on the trains running late, you didn't listen to the rest of them, right? And your immediate response was not to acknowledge what they said, but it was more to respond to them being late. So you're listening to respond. You hone in on a point that they made and you're responding just to that point and not to the overall comments that they made. All right. So it may not be totally clear now. I'm going to come back to subjective listening after I go over the three. But subjective listening is listening to respond. All right. So it's where you hone in on just one point within that entire explanation, and you respond to that one point rather than honing in on everything and making your employee feel like you heard them. The next type of listening is objective listening. All right. So that's listening to understand. Listening to understand is a little bit different than listening to respond. It's showing your employee that you are actually listening to what they're saying in its entirety. And the way to listen objectively is you are going to acknowledge and validate what the employee says, right? Or what your team member says. So how do you acknowledge what someone says? In some cases, it's simply replying to them and repeating to them what they just told you. So now, using that same example, your employee comes in late from work. You ask them why they were late. They said, well, the trains were running slow and I bumped into an employee. I bumped into someone on the train that was out of work and we got to talking and I was able to kind of listen to where they were struggling with their job search. And, I helped them by referring them to this company down the road that's hiring. That took me a little longer. So I'm sorry, but that's why I was late. So as the manager now, having heard that, you can say, all right, so I want to make sure I understand. So you got on the train, the trains were running a little late. You bumped into someone on the train that wasn't working. And that conversation caused you to, you lose track of time because you were trying to help this person find employment. All right. So just by reiterating that, just by saying that whole thing or repeating it back to your employee, you can then that employee feels heard. They feel like you heard what they said. I can't tell you how many conflicts I've had to de-escalate at work with employees because their managers got into an argument or a disagreement with their employee because the manager wasn't listening to everything that the employee was saying and the employee didn't feel heard. All right. I can't tell you how often this happens in the workplace where conflicts arise because employees don't feel heard. And one way to do that is simply to listen objectively. And to listen objectively, you simply reiterate what you heard. You reiterate it so that the employee feels heard. And then after you've done that, now you can address the whole thing. Now you can say, well, you know what? I heard you say that the trains were running late, but I also heard you say that you helped this person on the train. And I know that's what we do professionally. And this is, giving you an example from someone that works in staffing. I know you wanted to help this person get a job, but going forward, I really need you to try to get to the train stations earlier because oftentimes the trains run late. And if you find that you're helping somebody out with finding employment, just shoot me a text, give me a call. That way I can plan around your lateness. All right. So now that employee feels like you heard them and they will hear you if they're listening to you objectively. But that's another story. But it just gives you an opportunity to connect better with your team, and it makes sure that that employee feels heard. As a manager, we have that position of authority. So in some cases, you have the power to kind of reiterate your point and state it from that position of authority. So employees might sometimes listen to you subjectively. They'll listen to respond, but you want to. When you're listening to your team, when you're trying to connect with your team, you want to do your best to listen objectively. The last style of listening or type of listening is like I refer to it as level three listening or intuitive listening. Okay. So intuitive listening is listening for the feelings behind what that employee is saying. So listening beyond the words that are communicated, but listening for the feelings. All right. So using that same example of the employee that was on the train that was running late and was able to help someone hear about a job opening and refer someone to a job opening at a retail store. When you're listening intuitively, beyond listening to the words that are said, you're listening for the feelings. So what that sounds like is, it sounds like it's pretty frustrating. It sounds like you were pretty frustrated this morning because the trains were running slow. I can definitely hear the frustration in your voice when you talk about the trains running slow and running late. But I also hear how excited and motivated it got you when you were able to help that person on the train. So in that example, you notice I talked about the frustration and I talked about the excitement or the enthusiasm. The employee didn't have to tell me about the excitement. They didn't have to tell me about the frustration, but I listened intuitively. I listened so closely to what they were saying that I was able to connect with them because I was able to identify that they were frustrated and they were enthused or enthusiastic about being able to help someone. When you are able to listen to an employee or a staff member intuitively and really listen in for the feelings, that gives you the ability to connect with them further. And that employee leaves that conversation feeling more connected to you as their manager. All right. So I really want you to, you know, I reach out to me if you want me to go into more detail on the examples for intuitive listening, subjective listening, and objective listening, or in proper order, subjective listening, objective listening, and intuitive listening. Because this approach, being able to learn your employees by listening to them effectively, will help you to connect with your staff, and will produce better results when working with your team. All right. So we're going to take a quick break before we go into Empower. But before we go on to break, I want to just say you're listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. When we come back, we will explore more about the Leadership Mile and we will delve into empowering. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship, this hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Said to a friend, I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special. Or how about, I am working on getting a job I love. Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love. While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today, we are talking about your path to leadership, or what I call the leadership mile. And MILE is an acronym. It stands for motivating, inspiring, learning, and empowering. And during our show so far, we've discussed the motivating, we've discussed inspiring, we've discussed learning, and now we are going to dive into empowering. Before we go into empowering, I want to tell a story. So this empowering resonated with me when I decided to get certified as a professional coach. So I've been doing career coaching for several years, over 10 years, maybe even 15. And I decided that, you know, I want to get certified so that I can get some clients officially and just start my own practice. So my first day at this course for the coaching certification, I remember the coaches or the instructor for the coaches. She said that coaching is not problem solving. Coaching is empowering. And, you know, she went on to explain what, you know, what coaching was and what the difference between problem solving and empowering was. And I'm going to do the same for you all. But that explanation is what changed my view and made me realize that I, as a manager and as a leader, I had often taken the approach of being a problem solver. So when people came to me for advice on careers, or when my employees would come to me for advice on how to get out of a bind, I often would tell them exactly what to do. Here's what you should do. This is what you should do. All right. And I wasn't a coach. I was a problem solver. People came to me with their problems and I told them what to do to solve it. And a coach is not a problem solver. A coach is an empowerer. And an effective leader is one that helps other leaders develop, helps to develop other leaders. And the best way to develop other leaders is to empower them to grow. It is to ask them questions that that encourage them to think about the solutions, and then, you know, ask them how they would go about solving X problem. And when you ask them how they would go about solving that problem, they think about it. They provide you with a solution. And as a result, you can then give them feedback on their approach. All right. So there's a huge difference there. And as a leader, it's important for you to understand the difference between problem solving and empowering. Because when you problem solve for your team, what you're doing is you're enabling them. All right. You are telling them, you're without maybe saying those words, but you're telling them, hey, whenever you have a problem, you come to me and I'll tell you how to fix it. Right. So now, what do you think happens if you leave that company or that employee goes to another company? That employee now relies on others to kind of find the solutions to different problems. And in some cases, you know, you'll have some employees that learn from your problem solving. When they ask you the question enough times, they will, you know, be able to start thinking, all right, well, this is what Rudy would do, or this is what Rudy would tell me to do in this scenario. But unfortunately, not every employee is like that. So as a leader, it is your responsibility to empower your team and encourage them to grow, and ask them questions that force them to grow. Even if they don't know the answer right then and there, asking an open-ended question or an empowering question will plant the seed and plant the question in their minds, right? And if they don't know the answer right then and there, it is important as the leader to be comfortable with silence and be comfortable with them taking the time to think about a solution. All right. So I know, you know, and for many of us as leaders, our time is our most valuable asset. So we want to solve the problem as quickly as possible and get it out of our way. But think about it from this perspective. If you are able to empower a team member and get them to start thinking like you, where they don't come to you for every single problem, you save your time. So yeah, in the short, you know, when thinking about it from a short term, solving a problem might be like, okay, problem solved. Now I can get back to what I'm focused on, right? But if you take the time, if you invest the time in your team member and you empower them and you encourage them to think out the solution to the problem, it might take a little longer now, but by doing that, by investing that time now, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, that employee won't come to you as often because they're going to think about the solution. All right. And when you have that conversation with them, when they come to you and instead of asking you, you know, hey, Jessica, how do I go about doing this? Instead, they'll say, hey, Jessica, so I came across this problem and this is how I thought about solving this problem. What do you think? All right. So now Jessica has the opportunity to provide them with constructive criticism and feedback based on their thoughts around the problem. All right. So it's not just giving the solution, but it's also giving them an opportunity to think of the solution on their own. And then if they don't know, if they say, you know what, I don't know, as I said, be comfortable with silence and then plant the seed. So there's an approach called plant the seed that basically means when an employee says, you know what, I don't know the answer. As a leader, you plant the seed by saying, well, you know what, I think if you give it a little bit more thought, I'm sure you're going to come up with the solution. I want you to think about it a little bit more because I'm sure once you think about it, you're going to come up with the solution for that problem. That is called planting the seed. You have just planted a seed in their subconscious. So they may not have the answer now, but that problem, they're going to continue to work on that problem even after they leave your office. And in doing that, you know, they're going to think about it. And I want you to think about yourself in these situations, right? When you've been faced with a problem that you didn't have the solution to, and you've, you know, been really thinking about it, you've been sitting there just beating yourself up, trying to find the solution to this problem. And think back to a time where you went to bed and you woke up the next morning and you had the answer to that problem. I know for a fact that it's happened to many listeners, and that is your subconscious working when you are asleep and trying to solve problems. Your subconscious actually does that. It's there to help you solve problems. So as a leader, when you are empowering your teams, don't hesitate. Don't be afraid of silence because they're thinking. And don't be afraid to plant the seed so that they can think about it and send them away. Say, you know what, come, let's talk about this tomorrow. I'm sure if you think about this overnight, you're going to come to me with a lot more solutions and a lot more ideas. All right. And it's not punitive. You're not punishing them for this, but you are giving them an opportunity to grow and you are encouraging and empowering them to be leaders and think like leaders. Beyond asking empowering questions. So an empowering question, as I said earlier, is asking an open-ended question. And an open-ended question is a question that does not have a response that's a yes or a no. So a closed-ended question is a yes or no question, right? An open-ended question is a question that you can't answer with a yes or a no. It requires more thought and more detail and more of an explanation. All right. Beyond asking empowering questions and beyond asking questions that cause your employees to think, it is also very important as a leader to define success clearly for your employees. All right. So in order for you to define success clearly, that requires giving them quantitative goals, all right, beyond qualitative goals. So here's what I mean by that. So quantitative goals are numbers-based goals, and it allows you to have a clear goal that everyone is on the same page on, right? A qualitative goal is a goal that is geared towards a quality. So for example, if you tell your employee, I need to see you work harder, or I need to see you improve, that's a qualitative goal, right? You're telling them you want them to work harder, you want to see them improve, but your definition or your view of working hard and your definition of improvement might not match their definition of improvement and working hard. So it's important that you define success by trying to make it as quantitative as possible. And we'll go into this a little bit more in a future podcast session, but just realize the importance of defining success for your employees and being as quantitative as possible, trying to incorporate numbers as much as possible so that everyone is clear on what is expected. So with that, we're going to have to wrap up here for our show, but I want to leave you with a few points that we discussed when going over the leadership mile so that you can walk away here really prepared to take your path to leadership and execute effectively with the motivating, the inspiring, the learning, and the empowering. So the first is just remember that tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. Remember to pay attention to your team. Learn and listen to your team. Your job is to learn them and really figure out what motivates them. And lastly, break out of being a problem solver and work towards being an empowerer. All right. So I want to thank you all for listening to my show. Please join me every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific. And you can reach me on social media. Don't forget to like our page on Facebook, Higher Learners on Facebook. That's H-I-R-E Learners. Like us on Instagram. That's Higher Learners. And on Twitter, we are Higher_Learners. And you can reach us at www.higherlearners.com. That's www.higherlearners.com. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. I really appreciate you listening, and I look forward to your next visit to our show.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.